The epistle for the fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond woman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which is now, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be the heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. As far as today's epistle, reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus, therefore, went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus, therefore, had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men, therefore, sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, in like manner also the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves that remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Thus for today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. I read today's Gospel, the Epistle in the Gospel, and I think a very, very fitting topic for a sermon today would be freedom. We heard in the epistle that Abraham had his wife, and he had a servant as his concubine, Agar. And Sarah was not producing any babies, and so he also had Agar and had a child by Agar. But that was according to the flesh, because Agar was fertile. Sarah was not. But God had promised Abraham a child from his wife Sarah. And as you know, he was related to Lot. They were kind of brothers. And three angels came to visit Abraham, representing the Holy Trinity. And they told him that in 1 year, his wife Sarah would have a baby. And Sarah overheard what was said. She was 100 years old. She was inside the tent listening, you know, eavesdropping like women like to do, you know. And when she heard it, she laughed. Me? Come on, 99 years old? A baby? And the angels heard her laugh, and they knew what was going on. And they told Abraham that, you know, she should not laugh. That was not right. You know, we are angels of God. God can do anything. Even give a 99-year-old or a 100-year-old woman a baby. Right? And so then the baby was named Isaac, because that's Hebrew for laughter. Sarah laughed when she heard she was going to have a baby. Kind of like a rebuke to those who would not believe God's promises. Sarah would not believe when she first heard it. And so Isaac was born. And after Isaac was born, she demanded that the servant girl and her son, who was Ishmael, be sent away. No longer stay with them. Go off on their own. He said they would be disinherited. Her words were, the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. And these words were prophetic. Now, in the explanation of today's gospel, our epistle, we read from the fathers of the church that these represent the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Isaac represents the New Testament, because the true Jews, they were both Jews, they were both children of Abraham, but the true Jews are the ones who, when the Messiah comes, will recognize and accept him. Those who pretend to believe the Jewish religion, but they have rejected Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who was prophesied. Well, these are the false Jews, and they're in a certain kind of slavery. They are not free with the freedom by which Christ has made us free. And now I'll speak a little bit about this freedom by which Christ has made us free. There are two kinds of freedom. We have freedom from something. So, for example, when you were sick and you get well, you're free from sickness. That's freedom from something. And you have the other kind of freedom, which is freedom to something. I have the freedom, if I follow the laws of the traffic laws, I have the freedom to drive. If I practice at some kind of a skill, and the more practice and skill I develop, the more free I am to do that thing. And so we have, for example, if your bank account has $500 in it, then you are free to use $500. Freedom to something. Now, in the sense of religion, we, through Jesus Christ, the freedom which He gives us, which we did not have without Jesus Christ, is to be free from sin and all its effects. And that's the freedom from. How is it that Christ makes us free from sin? First of all, in our baptism. We could not receive baptism had Christ not died on the cross and given power to the waters of baptism. So when we're baptized, the original sin which we inherit from Adam is taken off of our soul. And we are free from original sin. Christ made us free. But we have still to use the sacrament of baptism. We're not free to refuse it. And if someone after baptism commits a big sin, then if he wants to be free from that sin, he needs to make a good confession, sincere confession, and receive the priest's absolution, the priest who received the power of forgiving sins when he was ordained a priest on behalf of Christ. And that's the freedom from sin and from the effects of sin. The chief effects of sin are punishments and the exclusion from heaven. A venial sin, which is a deliberate disobedience to the laws of God in a small matter, excludes us from heaven, at least for a time after we die. And so sin excludes us from heaven. A mortal sin, big issue where we do something seriously wrong deliberately, that excludes us from heaven forever and ever. And so those punishments, of course it also brings us punishments, the punishments of purgatory and hell. Purgatory is a time and place of purging, that's the name purgatory. We are purged from the remnants of our venial sins and forgiven mortal sins. And we become perfect in our heart and our love for God. So that when we finally finish purgatory and go to heaven, we will feel quite at home because we're going to a place where everybody else is perfect there. We would not feel right if we were the only one there that wasn't perfect. Or even if several people there were not perfect, because heaven wouldn't be quite heaven if it weren't that way. Then those who are in mortal sin are excluded from heaven altogether, and they also have to suffer great tortures. Tortures which will never cease, nor will they be diminished, nor will they ever get used to the tortures, as though it's routine now, so it doesn't matter to me anymore. The greatest tortures of hell are the fact that those there will have to admit to themselves that they chose to go to hell when they deliberately disobeyed God in a serious matter. And that it's their own fault that they're damned. That'll be the worst torture for them. I'm here through my own fault. I have lost God. my supreme good, my only happiness, I have lost, and I did it by my own choice, and it's my own fault. And they will think to themselves, I could have saved my soul. I could have done it so easily. All I would have to do would have been to make up my mind to obey the commandments and then just roll up my sleeves and obey them. It's not so hard if we decide that's what we want to do. But we must first make up our minds. And these people will say to them, all I would have had to do was make up my mind to be good and keep it the same. Then in every temptation, we refuse their temptations when we see that something's not right. And then, so we have therefore lost the freedom from sin when we commit a sin. We've lost that freedom. We become a slave. St. Paul says that when we commit a sin, we become a slave to sin. We are in bondage. And in a certain way, join ourselves with those who do not believe in the Messiah. Those who will not receive the inheritance from their heavenly Father, represented by Abraham, who is God. And the inheritance of God is heaven to all of his true children. And the freedom from sin means also gaining. Freedom from sin means gaining the freedom to heaven. Because when God forgives our sins, whether it be in baptism or in confession, he takes away the guilt and the punishments of mortal sins, of hell, and some of the venial sin punishment, which is purgatory. But he also gives us his grace. And when a person has God's grace in his soul, he has the right to go to heaven. He has a certain way heaven within him, because God's grace is really a hidden participation in the divinity already. God is really there in that person, dwelling inside him like in a temple. And if we could only see the good effects of that, which are hidden now, of those who are in the state of grace, we can't see their grace. But the effects will show in the next life. Our bodies will become like the risen body of Christ. Light emitting, subtle, impassible, beautiful. If anything was wrong with your body in this world, it'll be all corrected and made perfect. And so these effects are not seen in this world. We cannot see someone's grace, or we cannot see their sin by looking at them. Sometimes we might guess at it by the way they look, but we can't be sure. And so this freedom from sin gives us also the freedom to heaven. But committing a sin makes us slaves to the sin and also not free to receive inheritance in the kingdom of God. So this season of Lent is a help for all of us sinners who need to quit their sins. One of the greatest effects of the Lenten fast, if we really take the fast seriously and keep it, is to gain a control of ourselves, which will strengthen us to quit a bad habit or two. Church is very wise to insist on Lenten penance, because it helps us to save our souls, to free ourselves from a bad habit of sin, and to make us free to receive heaven too. So during this season of Lent, we've half finished Lent, 3 weeks down, 3 weeks to go. And let us continue then during the second part of Lent, second half, to free ourselves from sinful thoughts, desires, actions, sinful sloth by not doing what we ought to do, by keeping our penance carefully and praying, giving alms, the three things which are recommended as penances during Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.